Nigeria Info.
Lagos, Nigeria, we are the nation's number one talk station, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're broadcasting live from Etimi and Crescent Victoria Island, Lagos. I'm Sheriff Quadri. We have Nigeria Info in Abuja, just in case you find yourself in that part of town. You can check them out. They are doing wonderful job. As a matter of fact, they are the number one talk station for that part of town. We also have Nigeria Info in Port Harcourt. If you find yourself in Niger Delta, feel free to tune in. They're great. They are number one in that part of town as well. We have the Hausa version of Nigeria Info. It's called Ariwa Radio in Kano. They are amazing as well. All we do is to give you the platform to be able to express yourselves. We bring policymakers close to you to bridge that gap as much as possible. And we have continued to do that here on Nigeria Info FM. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube right now, Nigeria Info 99.3. We are live. You can follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM, on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos. This morning, we're continuing with our series on 2023. What we intend doing is, apart from educating you and informing you, we also want to make sure that you have the right information in shaping, in molding, in guiding you to decide in the coming election in 2023. So, we have been having hopefuls, presidential hopefuls, governorship hopefuls, House of Reps hopefuls on our shows. Just yesterday, former Senate President Bukola Saraki was on Nigeria Info, and a lot of conversation we had. If you missed out on it, go to our website to go and listen back again. If you have to download it, go and download it from our website as well. This morning, we are continuing with our series. We have Adamu Garba of the All Progressives Congress join us right now on the show. Mr. Garba, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the Morning Crossfire today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let me just give you a quick background of Adamu Garba in case you're wondering who he is. As a matter of fact, let's start with the fact that he was a senator from Yobe State, from Yobe South District between 29th of May 2007 to May 2011. So he was a former senator. He's also a member of the All Progressives Congress from Adamawa State, 2019 presidential aspirant under the platform of the All Progressives Congress. He's a technology icon, as a matter of fact. He's the president and chairman of the Governing Council Institute of Data Processing Management, IDPM, and Group Chief Executive Officer of IPI Group. He joins us right now to talk about his aspirations to becoming the next president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Again, you're welcome, Mr. Garba, on the Morning Crossfire today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I would like to correct one impression that people thought I was a former senator. I am not. That person is from Yobe. Oh. Incidentally, we shared the same name with him. His name is Adamu Garba Talba, while mine is Adamu Garba II. So there is this confusion that usually trends around on social media. But I am not a former senator. I've never worked in any public service. So I'm Adamu Garba II.
Adamu Garba Talba. Thank you for that very, very important correction. Apologies to our listeners out there. Let's take it from your statement just now, because it's just only appropriate. You're vying for the office of the president of the republic, and you have not occupied any public office before. Do you see this as a minus for you?
I think I see this as a very great plus, because Nigeria for a very long time have had experiences of people that have been working in a service, especially the public service, holding public offices. And we have seen the result. Someone like our dear president, former president of Nigeria, Olusegun Obasanjo, has been active within the Nigerian political scene since 1966. And eventually he had power in our democracy in 1999 to 2017. We have seen the result of these experiences. And currently we have President Muhammadu Buhari, who had also been politically active since 1977, since during his military voyage in the system. And now he had opportunity to be the president in 2015, hopefully to 2023. And we have seen the result of these experiences, clearly showing a complete failure of the system, The system requires a vision, not experiences. Mm. And for you to be able to bring a vision in how you will organize this, our human and material resources, and channel it for value and greatness for the future of the country, you need someone that has a vision. And that is actually what we are bringing. And you cannot be able to come with a vision when we are already part of the system. If you stay from afar, study the system as I did. I think over a period of 10 years, I was able to study nearly 146 different countries and see some of them that succeeded. What have they done? What are the policy choices they adopted, especially those within the third world country?
Okay.
And what are those policy choices that some of them adopted that makes them fail? Mm. And why are we also failing? Mm. So this extensive number of study brought about me to come up with about 36 different policy initiatives that is going to be a central vision to transit Nigeria away from politically polarized and divided unit to an economically integrated unit, because we believe Nigeria will function more when it pays critical attention to the economic linkages, the economic interconnectedness between us, as opposed to the politics that seeks to divide, confuse, and polarize us further and further.
Let me talk to you about a politics of confusion and polarization. Your party, I don't know if this is what you're trying to insinuate, your party has inadvertently zoned their presidential ticket to the South, and you are not from the South. What's your position on zoning?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
It went down.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I was asking about your position on zoning, knowing full well that your party has zoned the ticket for the next president of Nigeria to the South. But you're coming out and you're not from the South. It seems you have a problem with zoning.
You see, the problem is that if we continue to further the politics of zoning, we are indirectly and inadvertently supporting this polarization. And we have seen this zoning and its result over time. Whenever you pay attention to a location of a personality that is contesting for the highest office of the line, as opposed to the competency and capacity to deliver someone with the right proposal that is going to fix Nigeria's incessant challenges, we will always remain where we are. When we zoned the presidency to the South in 1999,
Hello, can you hear me?
We zone it again to the north through Yaradua. We saw what happened. We saw the rise of Boko Haram that consumed nearly 30,000 lives and still consuming. And eventually when we have the Niger Delta president, we saw the problem. Militancy became institutionalized. A lot of killings, a lot of oil theft, and so many damages. And now we've zone it again back to the north. We had President Muhammadu Buhari, and there we have bandits in the same zone where he came from. Killing, destroying, maiming, confusing the whole land, locking our schools, stopping our children from going to school, stopping our women from going to hospitals, stopping our markets from opening. This is the consequences of putting politics of identity at the center of an ethnically diverse and religious diverse country like Nigeria. So the best solution is, we believe that people should pay attention to the quality, capacity, competency, and also the programs of action that a leader should bring on board than to talk about where the leader originated from.
You see, that's the issue, Mr. Garba, because all of these things that you have talked about, you yourself have not been tested before in the public space, in the public sector. Why should anybody believe what you're saying? Because you have no record in the public sector.
That is why it is very important for us to look at the program you are proposing. I had a course to visit some of the most experienced Nigerian civil servants, one of which is General Ibrahim Badamasi Babangida, and one of these is General Aliu Muhammad Busau. Both the two of them confessed clearly, in fact, one of them is even on the video online, if you check, that they have never had anybody that come with practicable, workable, comprehensive solution to all Nigeria's seeming challenges than we have articulated. So if those people that has been almost spent all their life, all of them are in their 80s, in a public service, could look into what we have presented and say that they've never seen the best. In fact, one of them, General Gosa, was even listing the people that came to him, like Achua Jubola, Ahmed Tinubu was there, Saraki was there, Waziri Adam Adas, Atiku Abubakar was there, and so many of them, and he said that all of them, none of them could present something as comprehensive, as workable, as practicable, as you did, Mr. Adamu Garba.
Therefore,
you have my 100% blessing and support to proceed. So it's not about having experience of the civil service. That is why I told you that those guys have experiences before, and we have seen the result. It's about the vision in how the country should move forward.
Let me talk
about
Mr. Garba, let's talk about the vision and how the country can move forward. We're going to pick it from the angle of insecurity. You spoke about your party and how your party has failed woefully in terms of insecurity. What should the next president be focusing on in terms of solving our humongous, gigantic insecurity issues in this country? What should the next president be focused on?
You see, historically, Nigeria has been the way it is. We have been living together even before the coming of the colonial masters. There are so many tribes, there are so many regions, there are so many kingdoms in Nigeria, and even empires. And there has never been this kind of security challenges we are witnessing today, if you go through history, in fact. So because of this, how do we come about this insecurity? It started as soon as we got independence, when the country began to polarize. We had three regions. That's a polarization point. Although we want to celebrate it at that time, but we started polarizing. And from there, we began to polarize further to 12, to 19, to 24, to 30, and now to 37. So you can see very clearly a precedence of division. How do you fix this problem? We, in our own manifesto, we decided to create something called Council for Political and Security Affairs. After extensive research, we discovered that politics in Nigeria have a lot of instigations around the security crisis we are seeing. So most of the security crises are politically motivated, in fact, nearly 90%. So how do you do it? By building a council whereby the security architecture of the country and the political actors will come together quietly to be discussing the Nigerian particular challenges. And we mainstream our traditional rulers. We have 350 ethnic groups that are supposed to be represented with their traditional rulers within that particular council to be able to be discussing each and every security challenges that are happening in this country. I can give you a simple example with the banditry that is happening in Zamfara.
Okay.
This Turuji guy that has been that has been an acknowledged terrorist among the bandits started the problem in Zamfara state. He kept calling a particular area in Zamfara, Shinkafi local government, that was where his injustice started from. And that's why he started the vengeance that is, of course, very criminal. So supposing we have this council, the council can be able to summon the emir of Zamfara, the emir of Shinkafi. The security agencies in charge of Zamfara division are supposed to be there, both the military, the police, the SSS, as well as other surrounding traditional rulers, those people that are complaining about the social injustices meted on them, to discuss the issues and nib it in the bud. So because we have no comprehensive conflict resolution mechanism about our differences, we are having these issues. And we are not the first ones that are going to do something like that. We have so many countries that have done something like that. China were able to fix their issues by doing that. China have about 700 tribes with about 22 different regions. But they are able to come together in a very comprehensive policy unit to articulate their issues based on the origin of any crisis that is coming and the political actors that are instigating it. So if you have a crisis that is happening in any part of the country, you bring in the traditional rulers, you bring in state assembly, federal assembly members, you bring in the state governors, you bring in all the security agencies that are responsible for that area, discuss the issue, identify the problem, fix it, and move forward. So that is exactly how we intend to solve almost all the security challenges in this country. Very robust, workable template that has worked in so many countries, and that's what we're bringing on board.
In case you're just joining us, you're welcome. Adamu Garba is my guest this morning. He is an aspirant for the office of the president on the platform of the All Progressives Congress, and we're looking at issue state of the nation this morning, and we just spoke about insecurity. Mr. Garba, let's move on now to oil. Quite a number of our oil outputs, our production outputs, are being smuggled, and that is not fake news. Everybody is aware. Even the current government has alluded to that fact, quite a humongous amount of the production that we have. We can't even account for it, and yet we keep on moving our oil outside. We have refineries, four of them here, not performing optimally. First, my question to you is, what should a president do? What should Nigeria's next president do with our current refineries? And how do we move on from fossil fuel to renewable energy, if that's the direction you feel the current president should do? Let's start with the refineries first. What can be done about the refineries that we currently have in the country right now?
We cannot, in fact, when you are looking at oil, you have to look at the commodity value. Oil globally is known as an international commodity. It's not a national asset. As long as you have it under your soil, does not guarantee you controlling its process, because we don't control its price, we don't control its market. So the best solution to fix oil-related issues is to internationalize the industry. Once you internationalize the industry, you can be able to have value for oil. You will now be able to identify why do you need a refinery in Nigeria and what can you do about it and how are you going to get out from the problem. And we are not the first one to do that. Like what we intend to do in our own case.
Let's go back to your word. I thought you were going to expatiate. I thought you were going to break your word down, internationalize it. What do you mean by that? Let's break it down.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. The internationalization is a process. First thing is you have to open the books of the NNPC by inviting very credible organizations like McKinsey to help you do that. Mm. If you do that, you can be able to value our oil asset in Nigeria. After this valuation, you can list it on global stock exchange. After all, we need oil to be able to power our infrastructure. All our strategic assets are supposed to help us.
Mr. Garba, Mr. Garba, Mr. Garba,
about $1.5 trillion.
You have not answered my question on refinery. Let's leave where you're going.
There.
Talk to me about the refinery first.
If you're looking at oil as just a function of one area, like refining is just one out of the supply chain, but you need to look at the holistic value of oil market and oil structure in the global market, in the global system. That's the only way you can be able to address oil issue. And that is why you see when Brazil decided to carry Petrobras to the global exchange, it started working for them. When you have Malaysia carrying Petronas, it's working for them. One of the countries that have even part of the most conduit oil operating industry in the world, Saudi Arabia, Aramco, decided to list on New York Stock Exchange. We see that they were able to attract about $1.9 trillion, you know, of value. So that is exactly what we need to do. We have to carry this NNPC Limited, the way we now call it limited and privatized. This is still part of the conduit operation that need to go. For us to be able to convert our Gulf of Guinea from black water, where we steal more oil, to a white water, we need to whitelist the NNPC in the global stock exchange, take it to New York Stock Exchange, London and Johannesburg Stock Exchange, so that we can attract the necessary dollar that we need to build. Once you begin to attract the value of the dollars into your economy that will help you to power your infrastructure, refinery now comes into play. Mm. Refinery is part of infrastructure. A refinery is an operating business process. It's not a government regulation. So the best solution is to invite industrialists that have over time known how to operate, manage, and profit out of refining by giving corresponding value to the people into the country to be able to operate it. I don't believe Nigeria should continue to maintain and operationalize refining. I believe Nigeria should allow private institutions that are responsible for doing this thing at international standard to be able to operate it. So once you internationalize, the only thing we need from oil is the money, nothing more. We just need to attract dollars. We have $1.5 trillion of infrastructure gap. Whatever we will need to be able to attract this money into our economy is what we should pay attention to.
Right.
It's not about owning the oil.
Right.
It's not about owning the signature, the green or the red signature. It's about transparently allowing NNPC to be traded in the global stock exchange so that you can attract the needed funds you need to power your infrastructure investment. That's exactly how we believe the next president should do.
Ms. Adamu,
we know that.
Ms. Adamu, let's take a quick break. It's getting really interesting with you on the show this morning. We'll take a quick break right now. And when we return, we'll talk some more. We still have economy to talk about. We still have the free speech, freedom of the press. We still have social media to talk about. Quite a number of areas that we need to talk about this morning. Lagos, Nigeria, you're welcome if you're just joining us. Adamu Garba is my guest this morning. Let's take this quick break and we'll be right back. Stay here.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Mr. Adamu Garba is on Skype with me on the show today. Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you are watching from, please let's have your questions on the live feeds on Facebook and on Twitter. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch on those two platforms. That's Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube, rather. On Twitter, it's at Nigeria Info FM. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Mr. Garba, thank you again for giving us your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we leave the issue of oil, I will quickly like to get your thoughts on fuel subsidy. What's your position on that?
Fuel subsidy is a waste of time. In fact, subsidy itself is a waste of resource in Nigeria. And I can give you a very clear-cut example. We are budgeting 4 trillion naira for subsidy payment in Nigeria in this dispensation, especially in the 2022 budget. And that 4 trillion naira, if you say you're going to carry this amount and divide it by 774 local government, each local government is going to get up to 6 billion naira per annum. That's an average of 500 million naira investment in every local government per month. 200 million naira is capable of building standing strong hospital in each local government in Nigeria. 150 million naira is capable of building a very standard primary school. Additional 150 million naira is capable of building standard secondary school. That is the money we're giving to less than 200 people in this country in the name of subsidy. How can this not be a waste of time? Who are you subsidizing to? If you are carrying 4 trillion in our own budget, in fact, in some cases, even borrowing this money to be able to fuel consumption, no, it shows everything, it shows how everything is wrong with the way we treat the oil industry. And that's why the best way to deal with oil industry is to internationalize it. Once you plug it in global stock exchange, nobody again will have any corners to cut, because the value of the market is priced according to international standard, and the monitoring of the product and its exploitation of the entire supply chain is conforming to the standard rule-based order that governs the global supply chain of the oil industry. So nobody can cut corners.
It's easy for you Mr. Garba, it's easy for you to say, but if you put that side by side with the poverty level in this country, one may ask you, how would you want people to survive if the local economy is in tatters and you want to go and fully internationalize, let me borrow your word, and let global players in the field come and refine oil and sell to our people? That to me could be one of the issues the current and the past government have had to deal with in trying to remove subsidy multiple times and have failed multiple times. What's your thoughts on that? If you look at, you know, putting completely removing subsidy and bringing international players in, and then the impact on the people, the direct impact on the livelihoods of the people. What's your position on that?
You see, however you want to look at it, oil is dollar valued. So once it's dollar valued, however you want to access it, no matter how the policymakers will want to fine-tune their English, it's still an international asset. That is why when they remove the subsidy in Naira, once there is a swing in the dollar value globally, the subsidy come back. So it is clear there's nothing, there's no two ways about it. Since it's dollar valued, dollar regularizes the entire industry. So you get out from the problem. The way to solve poverty challenges that we have in Nigeria today is to treat the biggest monster that we are yet to confront, and that monster is called inflation. What you need to do is to create an economic policy that will attack this monster head on. Today we have about 14-15% inflation. Food inflation is about 23%. How do you expect people to be rich when all the monies they get to suffer to pay transportation, they get to suffer to feed themselves, they get to suffer to pay for energy? So this is the problem. So what you need to do is to build infrastructure that will make complete interconnectedness, I mean to bridge the supply line between buyers and sellers in the economy and make it cheaper for transportation. We have so many rivers in this country. Why are we not dredging River Niger, River Benue? Why can't people pick their goods from China and land it in Baru port here in Niger State? Why can't people pick their goods from China and land it directly in places like Numan in Adamawa State? All these places are port enabled areas that we just need to dredge. And you know, it is 8 times cheaper to transport on water than to transport on land. This is the country that have 169,000 kilometers of roads in Nigeria, but we are all able to pave, I think, 33,000 from independence today. How do you expect people not to be poor? When energy cost in Nigeria, the entire supply chain of our energy production in Nigeria is coming from the outside. And we are yet to explore other means of energy, like the renewable energy you talked about earlier.
Right, right.
So how do you expect life to be cheaper? So if you can't make life cheaper by just giving some people some small money in their pocket and tell them to wait for the future and hope for it. You have to pragmatically program how you intend to do it, and to the best of my knowledge, to eliminate poverty is to create policy that will give job opportunities for the younger people, for the young people that are graduating from universities, and to attack inflation. Inflation is our biggest monster. And as long as we don't have CBN management, that is investment, infrastructure, investment friendly, as most of the third world have done.
Right.
Because if you look at, let me give an example, when Lula da Silva became the president of Brazil in 2003, inflation in that country was 700%. And by the time he was leaving, inflation dropped to 5%. If you go back to Erdogan of Turkey, when he became president around that time, I think around 1999, 2000, inflation was 100%. What is Turkish inflation today? This President Putin that is currently fighting Russia, when he became the president, Russian inflation was 1,000%. Nearly everyone is poor in Russia. And today, what's the value of inflation in Russia? That is how to make people poor, to create policies that will make them to save more money in their pockets so that they can be able to send their children to school, so that they can be able to go to hospital, so that they can be able to buy good clothes and eat good food.
Mr. Garba, it seems to me that you are indirectly just telling people that your party has failed in all areas. If that is what you're insinuating, I don't know why you think that your party is still to be voted for in 2023, though.
What I'm saying here is this, right? I started by saying that the issue is a systematic issue. We have a systematic failure. The same problem that PDP had in 1999 up to the time we took over power in 2015 is the same problem that is repeating itself. And we can all together say that President Olusegun Obasanjo is not a statesman. President Yar'Adua was not a statesman. President Jonathan wasn't a statesman, or President Buhari wasn't. It's not a personality problem. It's an institutional problem. And the system cannot be driven by the experiences of the 20th century. We are currently in the 21st century. Nearly more than 70% of our population use the screen more than they use paper. But the entire civil service runs on paper. That is why 75% of our budget get burnt in the civil service, because the papers can be burnt anyway when you need to get them out. When you have younger population that favors the screen more, you tell them to go to the book. So the entire thing is a systematic failure. And that is why the way to move the country forward is to come with a vision, mission, and plan.
Let me move
it forward, not the previous experience.
Let's quickly go to the telephone lines and get some calls in, because I still want to talk to you about corruption. because one of the pillars upon which this government rode into power was the promise, the vehement promise to bring corruption to its knees. But it seems that is still a major issue in our policy today. We'll talk about that, but let's bring in some calls. Lagos, Nigeria, feel free to jump on it. 0700-993-993-993. If you're calling me, please go straight to the point. Please just ask your questions straight to the point. I would appreciate that a lot. And please turn off your radio as well. It's very important that you do that. Let's see who we've got here. That's 0700-993-993-993-993. Good morning to you.
Hello, Sheriff. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
My name is Robert.
You're welcome.
I want to ask your guest, since he has not performed in any public
capacity,
how do you think he will perform when he gets to the president? He has not been a councillor. He has not been a local government chairman. He has not been a governor. He has not been a senator. President Street, how do you think he will perform? Because I believe it is said it is easy to say something than do it. That's my question.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Mr. Garba.
Yeah, thank you very much for this question. Let me explain these things. I am just one person. You have thousands, if not millions, of the people that have had these experiences. You can't run a government without a pool of people. So where we need experience of the past, we bring the people that knows it. But what we want is that we need to have a standard vision that shows us the direction in how we are going to rebuild our social contract, build a social trust, and also reorganize our social construct as members of this country. There is no country on earth that has ever succeeded without deliberate mission approach to uniting its people and channeling their own resources for the betterment of its future. None, from birth of a citizen to where they have been buried, supposed to easily be able to track, manage the consumption, create value out of it for the benefit of the future. That's how countries are run. But the situation whereby we just operate a country where it's a sharing formula. Every finance commissioner is running to Abuja at the end of the month to collect the some. This is not a country. People should contribute to the center, not come to consume from the center. So we do, to the best of my knowledge, we need a complete reorganization. So whenever voted for me as the president of this country.
Mr. Adamu, let's not, Mr. Adamu, let's not go into the campaign. You know that you cannot campaign, so let's leave the voting part out. But something that caught my attention while you're speaking was the fact you are against the current structure. Are you saying that we need to restructure this country and give states autonomy? Is that your position?
You see, in a very standard.
I want a very short response so that we can just move on very quickly. Is that your position?
Yes, there must be reorganization of the country in a standard mission economy like the one we have in the third world.
You are apparently avoiding the word restructure. Please, are you saying that we need to restructure the country to give states?
I have problem with the word restructuring because of its political standing at the moment. So many people have meaning for the restructuring. And that is why I am calling for a word reconfiguration. Because we have to reconfigure Nigeria. In fact, in our own reconfiguration procedure, we went ahead to create even rooms for agitators to have their own republic within the Federal Republic of Nigeria. We had a proposal that shows that if Biafra wants to have the Biafra Republic, they can have a republic into the Federal Republic of Nigeria. As it is done in so many countries. Philippines have done it, India have done it, we even have it in Russia, we have it in so many places. So it's not a bad thing to grant political autonomy to a group of people that want to manage their identities, manage their tradition, manage their culture way they deem is fit.
Let me
to
quickly
police themselves, organize their economy. It's not a bad thing.
Let me quickly talk to you about corruption. Time flies so quickly on this program. The president granted pardon to very convicted ex-governors, two of them lately. What's your position on that?
I really don't agree with that. In fact, it's a bad example. It means that you can commit a crime, a state crime, because these guys have stolen state resources and cornered it for their own personal use. And there they are having presidential pardon. And of course, we ran our campaign with corruption at the center of what we do. So we are like reversing and endorsing what we have done wrong. And I'm telling you, that we have to get it wrong the way we approach it. Because corruption is the nature of man. From the beginning of creation, man has element of corruption in him. The way to manage corruption is transparency. When man knows that he is being tracked, he's been viewed, he's been monitored, the chances for the man to corrupt, to get corrupt, is very low. So unfortunately, we didn't create a system that will bring checks and balances in the system. I will say we are going to use a stick to chase people and corruption and start plugging them. Of course, we cannot escape corruption. And that is where we get it wrong. So the best solution is to build a very transparent and accountability chain within our civil service. Today, we have civil servants in Abuja deciding the budget of people in Brass, local government, deciding the budget of people in Owo, local government, deciding the budget of people in Kawara Namoda from the center in Abuja. How do you expect not to have corruption? Where you have a scientific research agency will now have a budget to buy wheelbarrow for a certain member of state assembly, federal assembly, so that he can go and give his people. Therefore, you must have corruption simply because the system is completely not transparent. The opacity of Nigerian system is unimaginably bigger than everybody would expect. So the best solution is to reform the civil service. That's 75% of the money that gets burned among only 4 million people have to be extracted. We have to measure and know where this money goes to.
Right.
That's the way to handle corruption. And that is why the office of the secretary to the federal government of Nigeria is supposed to be manned by somebody who has intelligence and security background, so that the person can be able to coordinate efficient and coordinated response between the civil service and the government. And the civil service must be reformed so that you need to hire a performance manager that will be able to integrate technology in the way resources are being allocated, distributed, consumed, and accounted for. But the situation where everything goes into the conduit, you can never eliminate corruption. So at the end of the day, you will be fighting somebody for stealing 3 billion naira. Meanwhile, the person that is sitting very close to you has 30 billion naira stolen, and there is no record to hold him accountable. So sometimes you feel some moral obligation to say, okay, since everybody is like that, let everybody get out.
Mr. Garba.
So perhaps maybe that was informed this kind of decision, but that it means that the approach we are taking to fighting corruption is a misnomer. It cannot work in the 21st century.
Mr. Garba, I do sincerely hope that we have more time, because it seems I have loads and tons of questions for you, but time will not permit. But at this juncture, I have to say thank you to you for coming on the Morning Crossfire. We appreciate your time, and we wish you best of luck.
Thank you very much, Sheriff, for having me.
Thank you. Lagos, that's our show today on the Morning Crossfire. Adamu Garba, an aspirant on the platform of the All Progressives Congress, joined us on the program today. You can watch again on YouTube and on Facebook in case you missed, especially from the beginning part. You can watch again freely on YouTube and Facebook, and even listen back again on our website. Perhaps download that interview we just had from our website, nigeriainfo.fm. I'm Sharif Quadri. I'll be on your radio again tomorrow at 5 a.m. Tomorrow, we'll be speaking with the United Nations, and we're looking at what's going on with internally displaced persons in this country. Bye for now.
This is an infomercial. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.